Good day to you. My name is Kevin O'Donoghue, and I want to thank Reverend Mike and the leadership once again for the privilege I have of sharing God's word with you today. Let us pray. Lord, so great to be with you today and to these lovely people that are listening. Please be with them in an awesome and special way. In Jesus' name, amen. I received a question from a young person during the course of the week and really made me think about it. And the question was simply this: how do you make God famous? I guess I want to ask you the same question. How do you make God famous? Well, today I want to share a story with you from the Bible about a woman who, because of what Jesus did for her, she set out to tell everyone who would listen how, after an encounter with Jesus, she made him famous to anyone who was prepared to listen to her. As we look at her experience, we'll notice three things. She allowed Jesus in. He helped her to refocus, to worship the true God. And the result was that she became a great witness for him. The lady that I want to share with you today is found in John chapter 4. And I want to read from verse 4 onwards. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me to drink?" The disciples had gone into town to buy food. Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans, or do not use dishes Samaritans have used." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," she said to him, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but everyone who drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped in the mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, in time coming, you will worship the Father neither in the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they the kind of worshippers God seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, was coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Then in down to verse 39, many of the Samaritans came from the town, believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. We have now heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. What a testimony and a great statement that was made. Jesus must have had a phenomenal impact on their lives. I want us today to pick up some aspects from her situation. Jesus met her at the well. He recognized, he recognized that she has a hole in her soul. And I would like to repeat that. Jesus meets her at the well and he recognizes she has a hole in her soul. She was hiding. She was only drawing water at noon so that nobody could see her and be with her. She was lonely because there was no other woman present. She mistrusts Jesus because she says in verse 19, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan." She doesn't initially grasp that Jesus is saying when he speaks to her. She has a misrepresentation about him when he talks about him being the living water. And obviously there was selectivity because she didn't have a husband. You see, she was dependent on man. She had five relationships, and she was looking for what she was looking for in man, inverted commas, what she can only get from God, inverted commas. Her core problem, I believe, was fatherlessness. A number of years ago, in fact, when we were young people, we'd just recently been married, and the matron of the children's home in Pietermaritzburg asked Linda and I if we would help out on her weekends off. And it was a very lovely experience for us, very sobering, very emotional at times, and a great challenge. But I learned there what a little bit of what fatherlessness means to people. One of the young children came, she was 12 years old, her name was Denise, and she came and she gave me a letter and asked me if she could I could forward this letter on to her dad. Now, her dad was nowhere to be found. In fact, we couldn't even trace her mom. But this is what she wrote. She wrote, "To my darling daddy, how are you keeping? I'm fine. You know, daddy, I don't even know how to look out or what you look like. But I miss you so much. I wish I could put my arms around you. I've been in the home since I was two. Daddy, you must come and see us because we miss you so much. I'm 12. Sarah's 15, Bobby is 16, and I'm telling you all this because you may have forgotten. Please write back, Daddy. I'm longing to see you. And please send a photo. We don't even know how you look. Bye-bye for now. Remember, I still love you, your darling daughter, Denise." And there was eight little crosses or kisses next to it. Fatherlessness. Back to the woman at the well. Jesus is the seventh person in her life, but he gets her to focus firstly on God, and then he gets her to focus on worship, gets her to look up. Someone once said to me, "If you don't get real, you won't get healed. What is denied cannot be healed." So coming back to the last few verses of what I read to you in John chapter 4 verses 39 to 42, I just want to repeat it again. It says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" You see, for what had happened to her, Jesus healed the hole in her heart. You see, she must have had a crushed spirit. Psalm 34 verse 18 says something beautiful. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves his crushed spirit." But what I loved about her encounter with Jesus, and I guess if she had known Philippians 4 verse 13, this is really what had happened to her and helped her change her life. It simply says in Philippians 4 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And we see that in John chapter 4 verse 29 when she says, "Come, see a man who told me everything I did. She had been healed from the hole in her heart. She was no longer embarrassed. She was no longer ashamed. She no longer had to go and hide or get water at noon from people, because she had learned with the in, the up, and the out. In with Jesus, focused her up to worship, and she became a great witness for him. That is how we can really make God famous, I believe, by allowing Jesus into our life and using the testimony that we have to tell others about him, and we will make him famous. God bless you, and have a really blessed, blessed week. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you that you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, you're the one who loves us, you died on the cross for us, and you've done so much for us. And Lord, I don't know where anybody is at this stage with you or in their lives or what they're dealing with or what their struggles are, but Lord, I just so appreciate that lovely scripture in Isaiah that simply says, you've got us in the palm of your hand. In fact, Lord, you even say that you've engraved us in the palm of your hand. So be with each person during the week ahead in Jesus' name. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen and amen.